So amongst the many, many mitzvahs in Parshas Ki Teitze, one of them is the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Let's just read the Psukim in Perichav Beis Pasuk Vav, Ki Karei Kan Tzipar Lefanecha. So we'll have a few things to say about that language, that introduction to Ki Karei. Baderech, Bechol Eitz O'al Ha'aretz Efrochim O Beitzim V'ha'em Rovetzes Al Ha'efrochim O'al Ha'beitzim Losikach Ha'em Al Ha'bonim. So it's interesting that the Torah begins with a lotase. And then in Pasuk Zion, the Torah continues with an essay. Shalech teshalach es ha'em v'sabonim tikach loch. And then the Torah adds a schar, leman yitav lecha v'harachta yom. So that's what we have in Torah Shebichsav, both a lav and an essay. This lav is a classical case of what we call a lav hanitakli essay in the Gemara in the third parak of Makis, and therefore you don't get Malkus. Now we want to study the Gemara in Chulin. First we'll start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah points out that this mitzvah applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Loretz, and it doesn't matter if the Mikdash is standing or not. It only applies to Chulin and not to Mukdashim. So if you have an oaf that was designated for a Karbon, that is excluded from this mitzvah. And then the Mishnah says, and this is most important for us, but right now it's going to be a little bit ambiguous. We'll try to clarify it as we go along. V'eino noeg ela b'she'eino mizuman. What that means is that the bird is out there somewhere in the fields. The Mishnah says, Ezu Eno Mizuman can go Navazim Vitarnagolim Shekinenu Bipardes, that they set up their nest somewhere out there in an orchard. Avalim Kinino Babayas, if let's say the nest is in the house, which means it's not publicly accessible, it's only private, then there's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKeh. The mitzvah only applies to kosher birds and not to an oaf tameh. Now, the Mishnah goes on to discuss a case where there's only one ephroach or there's only one beitza and the mitzvah applies even then. The question is, let's say there are two beitzim or two ephrochim, can you be mekayim the mitzvah with regard to each Ephroach separately? So you can really be mekayim the mitzvah twice. Keep in mind that the mitzvah applies, as the Torah repeats itself over and over again, Ha'em rovetzes al ha'frochim. The mother has direct contact with the fledglings, with the eggs. If the mother is just hovering over the nest, then there's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. So one of the things I want to discuss with you is, what is the significance of the fact that the mother is rovetzes al ha'efrochim? And that's going to lead us, hopefully, if we have time, to a discussion about the meaning of this mitzvah and the reason for this mitzvah. And the whole question of whether or not we're allowed and we're encouraged to look for meaning and rationale to the mitzvahs of the Torah, which is a gigantic issue of Tameh mitzvahs. Bartanura already points out that you need Eino Mizuman. How do you know you need Eino Mizuman? That it's out there in the field? Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Ki Kore. Ki Kore means that you chance upon it. You did not have it there in your domain, in your Rishus. And the Pasuk can discuss a whole list, a host of cases that come up. Like, for example, is a Beit HaKnesset considered Mizuman because only the people in the community have access to it, or should we say it's a public structure, therefore it's eino mezuman. It's like the fields out there, everybody has access to it. Or for example, let's say you have a porch and the porch is enclosed. Is that part of the bayis and therefore it's considered mezuman, or is it still eino mezuman because it's out of your house? And many, many other different scenarios that the poskim are going to deal with. But you know, the Gemara dedicates in Masechet Chulin an entire chapter to this single mitzvah. It's called Shiluach HaKan, you guessed it. And there are many, many very important Gemaras here, Lahalacha, but it's impossible in the context of our 45 minutes to really cover all the details of this mitzvah, to which the Gemara dedicates an entire perek. So my goal is to just get an outline of some of the basic, you know, an overview of some of the basic primary halachas, leaving a lot of detail to be studied on a different occasion. The first principle, which is most important, is established by the Gemara on Daf Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. You'll see it about five lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara darshins the Pasuki Kore Kansipa Lefanecha Ma Talmud Lomar Lefi Shenemar Shalech Teshalech Esaim Vesabonim Tikach Loch. The Torah commands us in the Mitzvah Saseh to send away the mother and take the fledglings. Yochel, I might think that like any other mitzvah, a person has to make sure that he's able to fulfill the mitzvah. That's part of his responsibility. So for example, if I take the case of an esrog, it's not that if I happen to chance upon an esrog that I'm chayiv in the mitzvah l'kichas esrog. I have to see to it and go out to find an esrog. If let's say there's a mitzvah of Havas Karban Pesach, I have to make sure that I'm located in proximity to the Azara so that I can bring the Karban Pesach. What about the case of Shiluach HaKan? Do I have to look and search to find such a thing? Yochol Lachso Beharim Ubigvos Kedei Sheyimtza Kan Tzipor? Is this an obligatory mitzvah to the extent in which I have to seek out the mitzvah? Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah added this phrase, Ki Kare, Bima'ora Lefanecha. In other words, if you chance upon it, you don't have to look for it. There's no Chiyuv Lechazer Beharim Ugvos in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah. Of course, if a person wants to be Mahader this mitzvah, and he wants to add a separate, you know, Kiyuv above and beyond all the other mitzvahs, then he should try as much as he can to find an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvahs. But that's not part of the chiyuv. The chiyuv is not incumbent upon him to look and search for a bird, a mother bird that's hovering over the ken. If he finds it, if he chances upon it, then fine, then he's obligated. But he's not obligated to look for it. It's very fascinating that the Aruch HaShulchan, which is on page 7, quotes the Arizal, and that itself is unusual, and he says that this is a very great mitzvah if he only gets the opportunity to fulfill it. The Torah doesn't obligate him to. In the case of tzitzis, the Torah doesn't obligate me to wear a beged of dalet kanfis, but yet if I wear such a beged, then I fulfill a great mitzvah. The mitzvah of tzitzis is shkula keneged kol mitzvah. So I want to put myself into a situation where I can fulfill the mitzvah. So I can't tell you what goes on in your part of the world. I simply don't know one way or the other. Maybe you'll tell me. But in my part of the world, here in Yerushalayim, many people try very hard to find an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. And there's even a Jew in Yerushalayim, he's an expert, he can tell you exactly, he can look at a tree and tell you how many different nests there are with the mother bird hovering over, how many different possibilities or opportunities you have to be mekayim the mitzvah of shiluach hakah. And the Torah itself specifies the great reward for this mitzvah. It doesn't mean that we fulfill the mitzvah in order to receive the reward, but nevertheless, it's a good thing to have a great reward for a mitzvah. Now, the most important question that we could raise with regard to this mitzvah is the following. The Torah says that Veshabonim Tikach Loch. That means, in one interpretation, that the reason for this mitzvah, what sets up this mitzvah, is the fact that you want to take the bonin. The other way of learning this is no, that you're not allowed to take the bonim unless you send away the mother, but the mitzvah is not contingent, is not generated by the fact that you want to take the bonim. So the poskim have a whole discussion about this. A person finds, he chances upon a nest with the mother bird hovering over the children, and he has no intention whatsoever to take the beitzim, to take the efrochim. Is there a mitzvah to send away the mother without taking away the children? Now, this question really subdivides into two questions. Number one, is there a mitzvah to send away the mother even if you have no intention to take the banim? And number two, if you go ahead and send away the mother, and you want to fulfill this mitzvah, do you have to take the bonnet? And this is going to be a great machlokas haposkim. The first posek in Jewish history who raised this question is the Chavas Yoyer, which you'll see on page 5. He was a German Jew who lived about 4 centuries ago. His name is Rav Yair Bachrach. And he claims that he has a raya from the Gemara one way or the other. What's his proof? He says the Gemara on Daf Kuf Mem Amid Beis, which is on the bottom of your page 1, says that Shtei Beitzim Zu Al Gabi Zu Mahu. What happens if the eggs are situated one on top of the other? And the Gemara is dealing with the following suffix. Rashi says, "Im miskaven litol hatachtonim," he wants to take the bottom bird or egg. Mi havi emtsoim chatzitza milishloach olo. That the whole issue revolves around chatzitza. So the Chavas Yoyer asks the following question: who cares about chatzitza? If the mitzvah is to send away the mother bird, and I don't have to take the beitzim, so what difference does it make if one beitzah is on top of the other? Let's say he wants to take the lower beitzim, and you want to say, well, wait, maybe there's a chatzitza because the mother is not hovering directly over the bottom egg. What difference does it make? He doesn't even have to take the egg. And if he doesn't have to take the egg, who cares if there's a chatzitza? Iavi chatzitza v'yachol likach hatachtonim kodem shiluach. Okay, now we're looking at Tosfos on the right side of your page on the bottom, and Tosfos says, what's this issue of chatzitza? He could take the bottom egg before he sends away the mother bird. V'ilo avi chatzitza, if it's not called a chatzitza, also likach ad sheyishlach. In other words, according to Tosfos, the whole discussion is whether or not he can fulfill the mitzvah of Shalech to Shalech Esa'im, and he's not even interested. I'm sorry, if he's not interested, I meant to say, in taking the banim, and if we assume that in such a case, if he's not interested in taking the banim, there is no mitzvah of shiluach. I'll read to you the language of the Chavos Yoyer just to clarify this. He says, "Midivrei haTosfos muchach she'ein chiyuv l'shaleach asa'im im ein bedaito lito asabonim." That this mitzvah is contingent on the fact that he wants to take the banim. Sharei imu chayev. If you're going to tell me that he's chayev, even if he doesn't have any interest in taking the banim, is gamli achar she is salik as a tachtonim, even after he takes away the bottom birds, the bottom eggs again, tishoyer ha'em rovetzis al ha'elyonim. The mother bird is still sitting over the elyonim. So again, if the machayev of this mitzvah is a contact between the mother and the bird or the egg below it, the efrochim or the beitzim below it, and even if he doesn't have any interest at all in taking the beitzim, he's still chayev in the mitzvah, so who cares if after he takes out the tachtonim, he wants to be mekayim the mitzvah of shiluach with regard to the elyonim. After all, the mother is hovering over the elyonim. So even though his interest is in the tachtonim, and he has no interest in the elyonim, let him send away the mother bird because she's hovering directly in contact with the elyonim. And he has a mitzvah shiluach hakad. So what's this whole business about elyonim v'tachtonim? The whole chatzitza issue is irrelevant. Ela vadai, says the Chavos Yoyer, Rashoy echad shenota tachtonim leilechlo vadai, Rashoy li achar shenotal hatachtonim leilechlo. After he takes the bottom birds, he can just leave it as it is. Ki lo yevake ishtover ki ima beitzim tachtonim, because all he's interested is in the bottom birds. So why is the Gemara saying that there's a chiyuv of shalach to shalach if he removes the bottom beitzim. From the fact that the Gemara is analyzing the question of someone who wants to take the bottom beitzim and whether he can fulfill the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, and maybe there's a chatzitza here, that indicates that the whole mitzvah of shiluach hakan is generated by the fact that he wants to take the birds. If he wants to take the birds, well, which birds generate this mitzvah? He wants to take the bottom birds, so let him take the bottom birds. No, it all depends on whether there's a chatzitza. If there's a chatzitza, let him take the bottom birds, and then he can be mekayim the mitzvah of shalach to shalach with regard to the top birds, because there's a chatzitza between the bottom. When I say birds, you'll have to forgive me, because what I mean is the eggs. But since there's a chatzitza between the bottom, the tachtonim, and the bird and the mother bird, therefore he's not in violation of the mitzvah of shiluach when he takes the tachtonim. Why? Because now he can fulfill the mitzvah of shiluach with regard to the elyonim. But by the way, the Gemara is predicated on the premise that he wants to take the beitzim. That's all what I call hakafa aleph in the Chavos Yoyer. Then we get to hakafa beis, and now the Chavos Yoyer changes his position, and he says, no, even if ein bedaito litol es habonim, yesh chiyuv l'shaleach esa'em. And now he quotes a different Gemara, which you'll see here on Daf, again on page 1 in Kuflam and Tesamid Beis. The Gemara says, Ki kare b'ma'uro lefanecha, meaning you chance upon this shiluach hakan. He says the following, Nehi d'memayit shelo yachzor behorim, Mikavakom bimaura mashma derami aleli zakekla. You don't have to search through the forests and through the mountains to try to find a nest. But if you happen to chance upon a nest, you have to fulfill the mitzvah of shiluach hakat. If you're telling me the chiyuv is predicated on the fact that he wants to take the fledglings, what was the havamina to say that he has to run through the mountains? He has no interest in taking the eggs. Is afilu b'ma'ura, and even in a case where he chances upon the nest, there's no mitzvah of shalach to shalach, because he can decide that he's not interested in the beitzim and just pack out and move on. So the final maskana, halach l'maisa, of the Chavos Yair, is that this mitzvah applies even if he's not in the least bit interested in taking the bonim. And the Chacham Tzvi, who came a little bit after the Chavos Yair, but more or less in the same period of time, which you'll see on page 5, he says that is the Kiyuma mitzvah contingent on the fact that he takes the bonim, like it says in the pasuk Shalach to Shalach Esaim Vesabonim Tikach Loch, or even when he sends away the mother, and let's say, for example, he sends away both the mother and the banim, he still fulfills the mitzvah of shiluach hakan.
Well, can I ask?
Just one split second. I just want to finish one more line, just for the Chacham Tzvi. So the Chacham Tzvi therefore paskins that when it says in the pasuk v'yasabonim tikach loch, that's only rishus. In other words, shaleach to shalach ha'aim, when you send away the mother, that's a matir that allows you and permits you to take away the bonim. But if he wants to send away, for example, both the mother and the bonim, or he doesn't want to take the bonim at all, he still fulfills the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, and that psak of the Chacham Tzvi reflects the final maskana of the Chavos Yair. Yeah,
I just want to get to the understanding of what the mitzvah, not necessarily exactly what the mitzvah is all about, but the concept of the mitzvah. Would it not be you want to take the eggs, you want to use the bonim, so you send it away? We're not supposed to understand it necessarily as a matter of having rachmanis or anything like
Joe,
that.
Joe, give me a few minutes to the rachmanis issue we're going to get to. Okay.
Give me a second. So, but just when you send away the mother, is she going to come back to these eggs? Yes or no? She's not going to come back. The understanding, if I'm not mistaken, is that once she leaves this nest, she's finished.
Did you take the bonim or not? If you didn't
The concept, and if he's not taking the bonim,
then the mother's going to come back again.
What's that?
If you don't take the bonim, the mother's going to come back. It could be if you touch the eggs with your hand, the mother won't come back. But let's assume you left things status quo. I didn't touch the eggs. The mother's going to come back. And once again, there's another mitzvah of shalach to shalach hasayim. But that's all if I predicate that the mitzvah of sending away the mother has nothing to do with taking the fledgling.
Yes, but again, you're saying if you cannot touch the eggs, then if you have no intention of taking, would you say that?
No.
It defies the whole mitzvah.
No. You can do what you want with the eggs. You can take the eggs. You cannot take the eggs. You can touch the eggs. You cannot touch the eggs. I would recommend that if you don't have any interest in the eggs, then maybe don't touch them, because this way somebody else in your family could fulfill the mitzvah of shiluach hakan when the mother comes back. But the only thing is that, as we're going to soon see, that many poskim hold that even if you don't take the baby eggs, you have to make a kinyan on the eggs. So then what you would do is you would hold the nest in your hands without touching the eggs, because again, you want the mother bird to come back again. Again, we're jumping a million miles ahead of ourselves, but if you assume that you don't have to take away the fledglings in order to fulfill this mitzvah, the Torah is just allowing you and permitting you to do so if you want to take that option. But if at the same time you want to leave the eggs in such a way that the mother bird is going to come back again, and either you or someone else will fulfill this mitzvah a second time, ad infinitum, then I would recommend that you be careful not to touch the eggs, because the mother bird is not going to come back if you touch the eggs. That's a biological fact. But there are poskim who say you have to make a kinyan on the eggs, even if you don't take them for yourself. So then what you do is you lift the nest with the eggs, and you're kona with hagbah, with the kinyan hagbah, but you never touch the eggs.
Right. But you understand what I'm saying? That you, to touch the eggs, to do something that you're just sending it away, and not and you're destroying the whole concept of this nest and this thing, would you not understand that that's like, it's completely counter to everything? It's like baltashrit. It's doing an act for the sake of a mitzvah, which is just not for the, it doesn't have the lave of the mitzvah in it at all.
Again, that's why I'm asking you. I'm in trouble here. Why? Because I have a shiur prepared for you today that I need about 2 hours for the shiur. And I'm honestly, Joe, when you talk about the lave of the mitzvah, and this is true for any discussion in halacha, you can't get to the lave, you're not in a position to really judge the lave unless you go through the halachas. So,
okay.
In other words, it could be that there's one way of understanding this mitzvah, this could be another lave to the mitzvah. I think we're going to only be ready for that when we get to some sort of conclusion about when you're chayav in the mitzvah, when you're not chayav the mitzvah, when you fulfill the mitzvah, when you don't fulfill the mitzvah. Right now, we're saying the following. Just to summarize, where are we holding now? In the original thought of the Chavas Yair, there's a clear-cut proof from the Gemara about Chatzitzis, when there's one egg on the other, that whole discussion is predicated on the fact that you're taking the eggs. However, Lamaskana, his bottom line is that I couldn't care less whether you're taking the eggs. There's a separate independent mitzvah sending away the mother. You're allowed to take the eggs if you want to, but you don't have to. Who agrees with the Chavis Yair in later generations? First of all, we have the Chacham Tzvi. Number two, we have the Sheet of the Chassam Sofer. Now listen to the Sheet of the Chassam Sofer. It's sort of a middle sheet. This you'll find on page 6. He paskins that there's no chiyuv to send away the mother if you're not interested in the banim. But on the other hand, he's of the opinion that you can fulfill the mitzvah even if you don't take away the banim. So you're not chayuv. The Torah only obligated you if you decide and you're interested in taking the banim. Now, one of the most important, again, it'll hopefully, Joe, if you give me a few minutes, I'm going to review everything, and I apologize, just that there's so much I want to tell you.
You don't have to apologize.
Okay. So let me present to you the Shita of Reb Chaim Kanevsky, who's considered, because again, as I, Shiluach HaKan has become a very popular mitzvah today here in Yerushalayim. And all the questions are now being asked. Halach Lamaisa. Just out of curiosity, again, our time is precious, but amongst the people in the audience, can you raise your hand if you've ever once fulfilled the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan? No hands go up, as far as I can tell. Oh, Yudi, you did it. You probably did it here in your Yerushalayim. Where? In Canada?
No, here.
Here, okay. When you get to Yerushalayim, Rabosai, I'm telling you, if you hang around here long enough, I promise you, you'll do Shiluach HaKan. It's just very in style today. Okay. Having said that, so Reb Chaim Kanevsky wants to address the question of the Chavis Yair, and he comes to the conclusion that the original position, what I called Hakofa Aleph, of the Chavis Yair is correct. Which means that Shiluach HaKan have a mitzvah muteles olav only im rotza likach habonim. But im lo rotza likach habonim, potter me a mitzvah. And the impression you get from the reading of Reb Chaim Konevsky, which you'll see here on page 8, is that based on the Ran in Chulin, he came to the conclusion that there is no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, not even a Kiyumah mitzvah, if you're not taking the Bonim. So if a person is not interested in taking the Bonim, Meichetesi, that he has such a mitzvah. And then in addition to the Ran in Chulin, he quotes the Meiri, he quotes the Ramban, and all of them say that there's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan unless he's interested in taking the bonin. But then he quotes Rabbeinu Bachai, and that you'll see on page 3. Rabbeinu Bachai says that Eino chayav b'shilucho elek shurotza likach habonin. The language of Rabbeinu Bachai seems to assume that he's alleviated from an obligation of Shiluach HaKan if he's not interested in the bonin. But Rabbeinu Bachai did not go as far as to say that there's no mitzvah at all if he's not, no Kiyum HaMitzvah, meaning in Halacha, obviously we distinguish between the Chiyuv HaMitzvah and the Kiyum HaMitzvah. Now if we had time, I would love to go through with you the Chazon Ish, which is also on page 8. Now we're going back to the uncle. And the Chazon Ish says that the Raya that the Chavos Yoar brings from the Gemara is not a raya at all, and he pushes off the raya. But we don't have time for that right now. Now, in a book that's dedicated solely, exclusively to this mitzvah, which you'll see on page 9, which is called Shalach to Shalach, he has an overview of this entire discussion, and he says, "May Iker Adin." Ein chiyuv lechazer b'har mukvos kedei lekayim mitzvah zu, and he says yesh mi gedolei achronim shesovrim shekol aroa kan tzipur yesh lo chiyuv l'shalachas ha'em afilu lo ola b'day tolito l'sabonim. He says there is such an opinion, and that is the opinion of the Chavos Yoar, as we saw the Maskon. It's also the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi, that even if he's not interested at all in taking the beitzim, he still has a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Achen, however, he says, HaMinag HaPoshidu, Shesholeach HaKan Eino Chayav, Ela Imrotzel Litol HaBonim. The whole mitzvah is predicated on the assumption that he's going to take the bonim. In other words, what we saw in the name of Reb Chaim Konevsky and the Chazon Ish, that is the accepted minhag. That's what he says. I happen to know, Rabosai, that that's not true. That there's a minhag to send away the mother bird even if you're not interested in taking the children. But you make a kinyan on the beitzim. And that itself is symbolically a lakicha on the beitzim. Meaning lakicha doesn't mean I intend to take the beitzim and cook them for breakfast in the morning and make myself scrambled eggs. I have to take them in the sense of kinyan. That's what it means, kinyan. That's what it means, lekichas habon. So again, if you ask me on a psychological level, does he have any interest in the beitzim? Absolutely not. His interest in the beitzim is only in order to fulfill this mitzvah, because the Torah says sabonim tikach loch. How does he fulfill es abonim tikach loch? By, in quotation marks, taking the beitzim. How does he take the beitzim? He makes a lekicha, he makes a kinyan. All of a shas, lekicha is called a kinyan. Right, we have the famous gzeir shav of kicha kicha, mistei Ephraim. Again, if we wanted to study this particular dimension of the mitzvah, which as I said is very fundamental, we would have to go through all the rayas and all the sugyas and all the dechiyas arayas back and forth. Okay. Now, we said before that the Mishnah on page 1 of Yomar Makomos says that the chiyuv of Shiluach HaKan only applies b'eino mizuman. And the example is given of ducks or chickens that have a nest out there in the orchards, in the fields. That's called Eino Mizuman. What makes it Eino Mizuman? It's Yecholim Livrach. That the birds have a way, in this case the mother bird, of flying away. Now please write this in your notebooks, because I want to get back to this. Why is the mitzvah, this is going to give us to the lave of the mitzvah, as Joe said before. Why is it that this mitzvah is contingent on the fact that the mother bird is Yecholo Livrach? Okay, right now I don't understand, but I want to come back to that in a few minutes. The Gemara derives this on Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amid Beis from a pasuk, and that's on the top of your page 2. The pasuk says, "Ki kare prat l'mizuman," and the Gemara explains that if you own a chatzer, and as a result of the chatzer, you have a zchus, meaning you have a kinyan in the beitzim, then that kan, that nest, is called mizuman. So it means that the definition of mizuman, according to the sugya, is that I own a kinyan. The chiddush of shiluach hakan is that I don't own the beitzim until after I send away the mother bird. That's called eino mizuman. So it means if I have a nest in my chatzer, nobody owns that nest. It's hefker. Now I own the nest. Why? Because it's in my chatzer. And chatzer shel adam konelo shelo midaito. So it means that if the egg and the mother bird in the nest is outside of my chatzer, then I haven't yet made a kinyan Hagbah on the Beitzim. I'm not Kona the Beitzim. The mother bird could run away, could fly. That's called Eino Mizuman. But if on the other hand, the nest is in my backyard, it's in my chatzer, and it means that even before I lift up the mother bird and send it on its way, the chatzer is Kona for me, that makes it into mizuman, and I've completely undermined the mitzvah, because once it's mizuman, it's not ki yikare. Here's what the poskim want to know. Can I decide that I don't want my chatzah to be kona? Why don't I want my chatzah to be kona? Because I don't want to undermine the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. Is Adam eino zoche bebeitzim? The mother is hovering over the eggs, and he doesn't want to be kona with his chatzer. So if I'm going to say that mizuman or eino mizuman is the same as saying, do I have a kinyan on the beitzim or do I not have a kinyan on the beitzim, then I have to ask a different question. Is my chatzer kona against my will? Which might depend upon two definitions of chatzer. But let's say chatzer is mishum shlichus. There's no shlichus bal karcho shel adam. So therefore, I don't care if the nest is in my chatzer, because I know that I cannot become the mitzvah of shiluach hakan if I have a reshus and I have a kinyan over the nest. I decide that I don't want to make a kinyan. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, which you'll see on page 8, and he says that im kivein bedaito, if from the very moment the mother bird started making the nest, he had kavana that he's not going to be kone through chatzer when the mother lays its eggs, then he can go ahead and he can be mekayim the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. Ah, you'll ask me, but the nest is in his chatzer, which makes it mizuman. Rav Moshe says, no. Mizuman means that it's his egg. He already made a kinyan. He's only allowed to make a kinyan after he fulfills the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. If he already had the kinyan, then there's no mitzvah of shiluach hakan. If, on the other hand, he decides that he doesn't want his chatzin to be kona, to be zocha on his behalf, then he has the opportunity of being mekayim the mitzvah. But the implication, if I read this correctly, is that Rav Moshe would hold that if I was totally unaware of the nest in my backyard, then chatzer shel adam konalo. It's automatic. There's no need for me to appoint my chatzer. It's upstandic. It stands there to be zolcha for me. And Rav Moshe says, in order to set up the mitzvah of shiluch hakan in my backyard, I have to have a deliberate ratzon that my chatzer should not be koneh. I have to have a das at before the eggs are laid that I don't want my chatzer to be koneh. Now, if you fast forward again to that sefer that I mentioned to you before, Shalech to Shalach, and he's a Talmud of Reb Chaim Kanevsky, so you'll see on page 11, he says that Eino Tzorech Machshava. We don't need that he has das, that I don't want to be Kona, I don't want my chatzin to be Kona for me. No. He says that Mistama, even if he doesn't know about it, Ein Ritzono Shechatzero Tizke Babetzim. There's an underlying das, which is presupposed, if I could use that word, that I don't want my chutz in this case to be kona, because if my chutz is working on my behalf to be kona, here it's working against my interest, and therefore I don't need a machshav. So this is phenomenal, because Rabosai, as I told you before, this mitzvah shiluch hakan is coming back into vogue. And therefore the minhag is going to be that all I do is I find a nest on my porch, which is my chatzer. My porch is fenced off. I have soragim. And what I do is I send away the mother bird. We'll see exactly how to send away the mother bird in just a minute. And then I make a kinyan on the beitzim. And that's considered ves habonim tikach loch. But you'll ask me, but if it's on my porch, I automatically made a kinyan on the beitzim because it's hefker. And the answer is, Reb Chaim Kanevsky says, that I don't need a machshava in a positive sense to say that I want this nest and all its contents to remain hefker, because it's not in my best interest that the chatzer is working on my behalf. And if you look on page 8, there's a sefer called the Minchas Shlomo of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he comes to the exact opposite conclusion. And he says, even if he's mechaving bedaito, as soon as the bird, the mother bird, starts weaving her nest, that he doesn't want his chatzin mizocha for him, it doesn't matter. That's already called mizuman. What's mizuman? Mizuman means that he at any moment in time could be zocha in these birds, because they're sitting in his chatzin. And therefore, the mitzvah of Shiluch HaKan is not applicable. It's called Mizuma. But I'm telling you, Rabosai, as far as I can tell you, the minhag is like Rav Chaim Kanevsky, like I told you before. That number one, I don't care whether you're interested in the Beitzim or you're not. But you don't want to be kona the Beitzim through your chatzah, because you want to have the opportunity of fulfilling this mitzvah. And all you'll have to do is make a kinyan on the nest after you send away the mother bird, and then the mother bird is going to fly away after you send it away, and it's going to come back and back and back, and on every subsequent occasion you can fulfill the mitzvah multiple times. That's the way I understand the minhag in Yerushalayim. Okay. Now, Reb Chaim Kanevsky goes on to question the status of a nest that you can find in a public area. For example, a Beis HaKnesses. Or, for example, you will find in an apartment building what we call Chadar HaMadrigot, which is the area that's accessible and owned jointly by all the apartments in that building. That's called Chadar HaMadrigot. Is there a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan? On the one hand, people who are zarim, you know, who are not, who are not part of the community, are basically, well, again, you have to know what he means here, but they don't go into the shul. Or they don't go into the chadar madrigot, and certainly not in order to take things from the chadar madrigot. So in that sense, It's really not a public area. And he has a whole discussion about a case of a nest that was made on top of an electric menorah. I don't know how you call it in English. Not a Chanukiah, I don't mean that, but the word menorah here in modern Hebrew means a... Not a street lamp. In the Chadar Madrigot, there are lights. You know, there are boxes, fluorescent boxes, or whatever, different kinds of boxes. And the mother bird made its nest on top of this place. And he wants to suggest the following, Reb Chaim. No one's going to climb up there. It's too high up. And therefore, it's Eino Mezumah. And there is a mitzvah, Shiluach HaKat. Get yourself a ladder, climb up there, and be Mekayim the mitzvah. Okay. How do you send away the mother bird? So this is a gigantic machlokas in the Gemara Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amid Beis, which is on page 2 of Yomar Makomos. Mem Mishalcha, Rav Hun Amar Birag Leha. You grab the legs of the mother and you send it out. Rav Yudomer Be'agafel. Which means you grab the wings and you send it out. Rashi, now I'm not going to tell you that Rashi himself is going to change his mind because I don't want to confuse you. So I'm going to tell you Rashi's first pshat here. Rashi says that what's the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda says, b'knafel, that if you don't take the mother bird by its wings, then you're not Mekayim the mitzvah. And the Rambam, which you'll see on page 3, seems to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rashi in his first pshat understood Rabbi Yehuda. The Rambam writes, Ketzed mishalecha aim, Ocheiz biknafel umafricha. The Rambam requires that you grab the bird by its wings. Once again, Rabosai, if we're gonna take this mitzvah and bring it back into style, I would not be inclined to accept this Rambam. It's not easy to grab the mother by its wings and send her away for a number of different reasons. And Rashi offers a second shot in Rabbi Yehuda. He says there's no kpeda that you have to grab the bird, the mother bird, by its wings when he sends it away. But what Rabbi Yehuda meant by saying be'agafel is that the mother bird at the time that you send it away has to have wings. It has to be capable of flying. That's a whole different pshat. And the Shulchan Aruch accepts the second pshat of Rashi, which means that all I have to do to fulfill the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan is to be gorem, to cause the bird to... How do you say in English, legaresh? I have to just send away the mother. What?
Chase away
the mother. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch says, which you'll see on page 4, that what is the mitzvah? Tzorech, this is in Simon Reish Tzadi Bey Sivtal, Tzorech l'shloach ha'em, achet teitze mitachas yodo. He says nothing about grabbing the wings of the mother bird. He just has to make sure that the mother is no longer tachas yado. She's sent away. And then, v'yachkach yikach es abonim, which sounds like he has to make at least a kinyan on the bonim, at the very least. Now, let's say, for example, the person wants to cut the wings of the mother bird so that she cannot fly away, and therefore we can take the mother bird. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Eino Rashai. He's not allowed to do that. In other words, he has a mitzvah. He doesn't have to run around looking for this nest, but if he finds the nest, he has a mitzvah of sending away the bird, the mother bird. He can only fulfill that mitzvah as long as the mother bird has wings. If he wants to clip its wings and take away the mother, he's not allowed to do that. That would be a bittul essay but rather yishalchenu miyad im knofeh kidei shetuchal lifroch. So when I did shiluach hakan, what I did was I took a broomstick, or any stick, it doesn't matter which stick. I'll leave the broomstick until November 14th because it's marimaginical. Okay, but if the you know what I mean, Bobby, right? Yeah. Okay. So if if I take a stick and I push the wings of the mother bird, it flies away, and that's grama, but that's okay. And if you take a look at page 10 again, back to this sefer called Shaleach to Shalach, he says the following. This is in Sif Hey. Kishesholeach ha'em yeshom shitzoch lakachza emi al abonim biyodov. V'oz l'shalcha mimenu. Some say he has to take the bird into his hands. Achen, however, yeshomrim shebofin ze ovrim alav shel tikach emi al abonim. El shiluach hu al yidei shemegarsha me'aken b'makel v'chedome. And as far as I understood, that's exactly what the minig is, to send away the bird with a makel. And if you take a look on the previous page, he quotes the Chazon Ish on page 8, and the Chazon Ish says, "Ein nafkusa b'shiluach ha'em im lokcha b'yad al menas l'sholcha osha b'garsha ad shetivrach." All he has to do is send away the mother bird, and whatever method he uses to shoo away the mother bird, even though it's grama, that is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now, I had a whole long discussion prepared for you about the bracha, whether you make a bracha on this mitzvah or not. I'm going to have to leave that for now. Maybe after we break, I'll tape it. But what I do want to discuss with you, I know you have to leave soon, is the lave of the mitzvah, as Joe called it very beautifully. First of all, you should know that there's a gigantic machlokes as to whether or not we fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem and we assume that it's the will of God. We don't know why. We don't offer any explanations. We are avadim and we fulfill God's will. Or no. The other sheet is that every mitzvah has a rationale. It has a logic behind it. And we are required to try to take a shot at it. We can never say we know for sure, but we have to come up with rational explanations that would seem to make the mitzvah meaningful. And the Rambam dedicates an entire chapter in the Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel Perek Chav Vav, to this machlokes, and he accepts the second opinion. V'datenu, he says, our understanding is that everything in the Torah, chukim, mishpatim, tzadikim, mishpatei Hashem, emes, tzadku, yavchtov, that there's a tachlis in every mitzvah. And the Rambam goes on to describe different categories of purposes of the mitzvah, whether it's to engender certain midos tovos, whether it's to maintain our health, our well-being, or to reject deos ros, intellectual deviations, and so forth and so on. That's in Perek Chavav. If you fast forward to Perek Memches, in the same book, that's Chelek Gimel of Mor Nevuchim, he speaks about Shiluach HaKan. And basically, he uses Shiluach HaKan as his sort of flagship paradigm of the Torah caring about certain midos, and so forth and so on. The Ramban, here in Parshas Ki Teitze, says, Tam HaMitzvah, there are two mitzvahs that are continuous. One is that you're not allowed to slaughter the mother and the child on the same day. Tam Shneem, you know, there's the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan and the mitzvah of Oso Vespino, Lebilti Heyos Lanu Lev Achzori V'lo Nerachem, to guarantee that we don't have a cruel heart, but rather we should have a compassionate heart. Then he goes ahead and quotes the Mor Nevuchim or the Rambam, and he goes ahead and says that although there are two opinions about time of the Tavi Mitzvahs, Anachnu Machzikim B'Svara Sheyesh B'Chol HaMitzvahs Tav, we accept the second opinion, And the Ramban is very, very big on this. And he says that the mitzvah is always Kedei Sheyia Nekiyei Sheniel Yahayosein Nekiyei Nefesh Maskilei Emes. And again, there's a long, long Ramban here in Parashas Ki Teitzei. I think that many years ago we studied this together on Rechov Midvel. And then we have the Oznaim LaTorah. The Oznaim LaTorah lived in our generation. Reb Zalman Sirotsky, the Rosh Yeshiva, tells, and he says, Nifla Adavar. This is an amazing mitzvah. Why is it that in general we have two categories? There are really three categories, but two out of the three always go hand in hand. That's Chayav Yov. For example, in Chayav Yov, the dinim are the same as far as Kisi Adam. There's a mitzvah of Kisi Adam. The Chelev of Chayav Yov is Mutter. The opposite is true in a Behemah. But here, as far as Shiluach HaKan, the mitzvah only applies to Ov and not to a Chayav. So he says, if you find a deer, a mother deer, that's an interesting phrase, mother deer, that's hovering over her fledglings, there's no mitzvah of Shiluach. Why? Says Rav Zalman Sirotskin that ofos are unique. Hey, matilim beitzim verovtim aleim zman yodua ad she yotzim mehem efrochim. They don't see after they lay the eggs an efroch, a little baby chick. In other bali chayim, they see a little cub or a little deer. Here, what they give birth to is a beitzah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matbia neteva an ava for toldos seyem to such a profound extent that, number one, they will not forsake the beitzim, even though it doesn't look vaguely like an ephroach. The beitz itself is called a davar shein bo ruach chaim. It has no life to it. It has no similarity, no dimyon to the oaf. But nevertheless, hafal pichein. And now listen to this. Moseres es nafsha ala beitzim. Why? Yosheves shvuos kimat below achilu shtia. It doesn't leave the nest below hefsek. Ad shehizocha liros efrochim bidmusa. Lefichach tzara gadol miod biraosa shalokhim imenu es adavar asher he masras nafsha aleh. He says there's an amazing phenomenon in birds. He says that when you see a bird on the street, like for example pigeons and crows here, I always see it here on Rehov Yehoshua ben Nun next to my house, then as soon as you come anywhere near the bird, it starts flying away. However, go near a bird that's hovering over the beitzim or the efrochim and it doesn't move from the spot. The natural fear of a human being is somehow suspended. And why is that so? Because God put into the teva of the ophos a mesiris nefesh for the beitzim, for the efrochim. She's not even going to be afraid of a human being. She'll be moses nafsho for the sake of her offspring, of toldos sen. Ah, you'll ask me. The Gemara says in Masechta Brachos HaOmer al Kansipor, Yagiu rachamecha meshaskin also. A person says that this mitzvah is all about compassion. We shut him up. He says no. That's only if he makes a statement be ofen muchlat, and he says that the reason why God gave us this mitzvah exhausts itself in the midah of compassion. That's already a dover sheker. That far we can't go. He can't say Bechletius. For example, when he's davening to Hashem, he's asking Hashem to have compassion on him or his family. He's not allowed to say, well, God, you have compassion on the Kansipar, and therefore you have to have compassion on a human being. Because that's called Hechletius. When he puts it, injects it into his tefillah, he's making a definite statement. And now comes the punchline. Says Rav Zalman Sirotsky, when you take away the mother, or shall we say, when you take away the fledglings without shooing away the mother, what you're doing is you're taking advantage of the fact that this mother bird does not run away from you because of its love and its dedication to its offspring. You want to grab the mother. Why? Because you can't catch a bird. I don't know if any... Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe someone here in the room could catch a bird. I can't catch a bird. I need traps for that. The bird is going to fly away way before you get near the bird. Cats have already become chutzpahdik. But birds are not chutzpahdik. They fly away. But this bird I'm going to be able to capture. Why? Because this bird is the mother bird that's hovering over Ephrochim. The Torah goes out of its way over and over again to point out in this parasha that the mother is hovering over the eggs. It's touching the eggs. Out of a sense of love and compassion for the eggs, it's willing to remain on the fledglings, on the Beitzim, and not fly away when a person comes to grab it. Take me, so to speak, says the mother. But don't take my totems. Ah, you want to take advantage of that situation. You want to grab the mother bird because you know the mother's not going to fly away. He says, "Lo yishtamesh adam litzarko ulanasa b'mida tova zushiyesh ba'em." He wants to take advantage for his purposes of the mida tova, the love of the mother for its fledglings. Kidei litoso. So the Torah says, Shalech to Shalech Esa'em. Why is the Torah commanding you to send away the mother? The answer is because this mother she's not going to run away. And if she's not going to run away, you're tempted to take advantage of that love that the mother has for its children. Ein lecha rishus latzud ofos bechol miniam tzayim al yidei. You could take the mother bird in any way you want if she's not hovering over her young. And he says, V'yesh l'dayek mi'loshen aramam. Listen to the Loshen Aramam, Perek Yud Gimel v'l'cheshchit ha'loch ha'zayin. Lo asra Torah el elotzud osa v'hi eina yecholo lefrach b'shvil habanin shehi rovetzes aleh. The Rambam says, the Torah prohibits you, it's a lav, of taking the mother in this case. Because why are you taking the mother? Because she cannot run away because of her bonin. Yisrael Bosai, let's go back to square one. We ask the question, does this mitzvah apply if I'm not in the least bit interested in taking the bonin? And we said that's a tremendous machlokis. But I want to here defend, perhaps, the shita that says that this mitzvah applies even if I'm not interested in the bonin. The Torah is matir. I can take the bonin once I send the mother away. But the compassion here is over the mother. Why do I have compassion over the mother? And there are two points here that have to be raised. Number one, the mother would have tremendous anguish if you took the fledglings without sending her away. Because she has tremendous ava for the fledglings above and beyond that of a chaya or a behema for its young. But number two says Rav Zalman Sarutskin, if you take away the bird, the fledglings, then what you're doing is you're really taking advantage of this situation. You're saying that you have the ability to do what you want over here. You can grab the mother, you can grab the children, the mother is there. Just take the eggs. Why? Because the mother is not running away from you. You are now tempted to take the mother bird. This is a great opportunity. You're a bird catcher. A chicken costs 20 shekel. And you want to get this chicken when it's very easy for you to get the chicken because of the mother's love for the bird. And you're taking advantage. I think it makes no difference whether you're going to take the fledglings. The very fact that you send away the mother bird is a statement that's meant to engender within you a respect for the mida of love of the mother bird over our fledglings. And that itself, Chazal say, is a way of learning morality and ethics from animals, and in this case from a bird, to learn about the fact that the mother is there, we're not going to cause her anguish and take away the fledglings. We're going to respect the fact that the mother is in a vulnerable position because she's not willing to give up on her on her protection, on her hovering over the eggs. The halacha requires that she's hovering, literally touching the eggs. And the Torah goes over and over again and says, Ephrochim o Beitzim, the emphasis here on Beitzim, the love for its toldos, even when there's no resemblance whatsoever between the Beitza and the full grown oaf. Now, if anybody wants to stay for another 5 minutes, I just want to discuss this fascinating question about whether you make a bracha on the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. As again, I told you that this mitzvah is back in vogue, and it's very popular now here. Did I tell you that there's a Jew here in Yerushalayim who, if you contact him, he'll do the following for you? He will take you to different kvishim, different roads here that pass through trees, you know, areas that have trees on the side. And he will tell you, after he looks at the tree, exactly how many nests there are in the tree with mother birds hovering over the nest. How many different opportunities you have on each tree to fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. But that's not all he does for you. If you pay him a couple of extra shekels, sometimes he'll do it for free even, he will supply you with all the mechanics, all the machines that you need to get up to the nest, because he's going to tell you exactly where the nest is, and fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. He will give you a personal instruction and guidance how to fulfill this mitzvah. Because this mitzvah is a schooler for having children. And not only that, it might also be a schooler for getting married, because you can't have children until you get married. So if it's a school of having children and you're not married,
When you do the mitzvah now, so you do a kinyan on the nest, are you then not cured afterwards?
Yeah.
So the next person can do it?
Yeah, exactly. So for example, let's say, Bobby, you were living in Yerushalayim in place X and you have a porch, and guess what? A bird came and built a nest on your porch. You don't want to be zocher in the nest, even though it's in your chatzah. What you do is, you send away the mother, take a stick, shoo away the mother, and then lift the nest with your hands. Then you call in your neighbor, or your friend, or your relative, who needs the schooler. That person should be doing the mitzvah because of the mitzvah, not because of the school. Don't misunderstand. But why not do a mitzvah and get the school as well? That person will shoo away the mother and then pick up the nest, put it back down, and be mafker it. And as a vaita, as long as you don't touch the egg, the mother will continue to come back to this nest. And shalech to shalech, afilu mea pom v'yachas.
Right. Now, the second question is, according to Rav Sorotzkin's explanation, why taka are the Ephraim also part of the mitzvah? Like, in other words, it's differentiating between
an oaf and a chaya. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure about the biology of it, but I think that the Ephraim don't exactly look very beautiful. You know what I mean? A little tzvi. I mean, if I wanted to buy my own pet deer, I would probably buy a little baby that's so cute, those little babies. In Australia, they sell koalas, these little teeny koalas that are just born. Okay, very quickly, again, I'm not holding you to stay here. You're free agents, but there's a major machlokas rishon whether you make a bracha on the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. The Aruch HaShulchan that we saw before on page 7 brings the Ravid in Tmim Deim, and the Ravid says you should be mevarech on this mitzvah the same way you make a bracha on any mitzvah. And the Aruch HaShulchan seems to accept that sheet. However, if you take a look on page 3, the Rashba in his Chuvas was asked this question, Chelek Gimel Simon Reish Pei Gimel, in Mevarchim B'Shiluach HaKan Olo, and he says, Ein Mevarch. Why? Fascinating logic. He says that basically, Shiluach HaKan is a lo saseh. If you take a look at the Pasuk starts with saying, Lo Tikach HaEmal HaBonim. the essay is sort of like the flip side of the losase. And therefore, you don't make a bracha on a losase. Now, on page 6, if you fast forward, you'll see the Binyan Tzion, who's the Aruch HaNer, and he comes to the same conclusion as the Rashba, that we don't make a bracha on Shiluach HaKan, but he offers us a totally different logic as to why we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah Shiluach HaKan. And again, to summarize a very complex presentation, he says that we never make a bracha on a mitzvah which is a safek, because of safek bracha levatola. And he says the following: there's always a safek that maybe as you approach the bird might fly away on its own, and you never got a chance to push it away. And therefore you never fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Halacha l'maisa, it seems that all the poskim accepted the shita that we don't make the bracha on Shiluach HaKan. And not only that, what about Shechiyonu? Imagine you waited for decades until finally you got the opportunity to be mekayim this mitzvah. Should you make a Shechiyonu? So both the Birkei Yosef, that's the Chidah, and the Aruch HaShulchan, keep in mind the Aruch HaShulchan accepted the view that you should make a bracha on Shiluach HaKan, but not Shechiyonu. And there's a long discussion here as to why Shechiyonu is not recited on this mitzvah. Again, a lot of it has to do with the logic of the Rashba, even if we don't accept the Rashba hook, line, and sinker, that essentially this mitzvah is a lotaseh, and you don't make a Shechiyonu a lotaseh, but nevertheless, since the element in the mitzvah is to avoid achzarius, meaning don't take the mother, don't take the fledglings without sending away the mother, therefore we omit Shechiyonu. But again, I'm oversimplifying a very complicated question. The Chassam Sofer says we don't fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan on Shabbos. And that's on page 6. And keep in mind, he doesn't require that you actually take the bird into your hands. That might be a question of tzedah. Nor does he have a problem of muktzah, because usually balei chayim are muktzah. Here the mother was hovering over a bird from over the nest from Erev Shabbos. So l'chora, there's no Easter muktzah here. But rather he says that we should avoid this mitzvah on Shabbos for more esoteric reasons. And he quotes a Zohar that in Shiluach Ha'em Yesh La'or Yelolos, again, I can't explain this. This is mystical concepts about tears and crying. And therefore he says that maybe it's not proper to fulfill this mitzvah on Shabbos. If you took a look at the paragraph that starts Al Kol Ponim, he writes Lazoar the Shabbos v'yontiv also li'orer yelola li'ela, somewhere up in Shemayim it's ma'orer. In other words, again, it's a mitzvah and you have to do it, but there's some sort of avelus here in the mitzvah. He doesn't use that word, but it's not appropriate for Shabbos. Note that the Chassam Sofer, in the paragraph that starts Omnam, also accepts the opinion that the purpose of this mitzvah is shelo nit achzer, that we shouldn't have any achzorius by taking away the children when the mother is hovering over the nest. He says, V'afal gav di osu lomar al kan tzipur yagia rachamecha hatam shelo yigi rachmem abali chayim kol shehu litzorech adam. He says, because if man has a need to cause anguish to a bal chai, he's allowed, he's permitted to do so. And the raya is that we're allowed to shecht bali chayim. Ach gzeros hein olenu shalo nilmad lichas lit achzer unet take midosein. that there's some sort of balance act here. On the one hand, the Torah says you're allowed to shecht animals. You're allowed to cause pain to an animal if it's for the benefit of man. That's not called tzar ba'alei chaim. But on the other hand, we have to balance that with a mitzvah that commands us to avoid achzorius. And that's how the Torah balances the two and projects into the nefesh ha'adam this midah of compassion. Now, the sefer that we saw a few times called Shalech to Shalech is authored by one of the contemporaries here in Yerushalayim. It was actually published in the year Tavshin Samach Ches, means it's basically about a decade old, authored by Rav Naftali Chaim Weinberger. I don't know him, but he did an outstanding job here in researching this mitzvah. Again, I want to emphasize that this mitzvah only applies to kosher animals. And for example, if you have an oaf that's kosher as far as the min is concerned, but it's treif, it's a treifa, it's not kashal achila, and there's no mitzvah shiluach hakan. And therefore the question arises, in the case of a beitza that's merukemes bedam, sometimes you'll see that there's blood on the egg, he says that that's not a treifa. If we would allow that bird, that egg, to develop and hatch, then it would become an oaf tar and not a treifa. And therefore, gam im abeitza kvar merukemes bedam, says the again on page 9, the Shalach to Shalach Rav Naftali, is chayav l'shalach ha'sa'em mikevon she'imayu menicham tachas imam, if he would allow the mother to remain hovering over the eggs, hayu nasim gedolim ru'uyim l'achila, it would mature and it would be royal l'achila. So we don't consider that like a treifa. On the other hand, let's say you have an afroch and the afroch is already a treifa, that's an irreversible process, and therefore there's no mitzvah shiluach hakan on a treifa. And again, he writes, how can you mekayim the mitzvah over and over again? Al yidei hafkaras habeitzim hafrochim. You declare that the beitza, the afroch, is hefker, and you no longer own it. If you don't own it, then you have the mitzvah of esabonim tikach loch. Okay then? So both sides, that is what we can accomplish today. Obviously, there are a lot of details and a lot of riots in the sugyas. It's an entire chapter in Chulin. We couldn't possibly cover the entire chapter, but I think we got a little bit of a flavor, an overview for some of the basic issues regarding this mitzvah. So if we can't get Shimi, at least we got his son Mordechai. That's Shimi was never able to join us, but I'm still holding out that maybe he will.
I think he popped in a few times in the beginning.
Oh really? I don't remember.
Just that it's the timing is hard for him.
Right. Yeah, he has a geschäft. So.